Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on the tour of the stars and planets that you'll see in January. As the gift-giving season comes to an end, maybe now you've got a shiny new telescope to call your own. Congratulations, you're on the way to discovering many amazing things in the night sky. But here's a tip. Set up your scope completely and make sure you understand how it works indoors before test driving it outside. Fumbling with unfamiliar screws and knobs out in the dark and cold is no fun. Of course, you don't need a telescope to enjoy the beautiful winter sky. Just bundle up warmly, don't forget your head and feet, and come along with me. One great thing about winter is that the sky can be incredibly clear, making the stars and planets seem all the more like dazzling gems. For example, as evening twilight fades, you'll notice a dazzling star well to the upper left of where the sun set. That's Jupiter, the king of planets. It's been dominating the evening sky for several months now, but that reign is coming to an end. Try lining up Jupiter with a rooftop or a nearby tree, then go out at that same time, week by week, to watch it drift toward the southwest horizon. By mid-February, you'll have trouble spotting it at all. Even as Jupiter makes its exit stage west, the planet Mars is ascending in the east. On January 29th, the red planet reaches opposition, that is, it's opposite the sun in the sky. To find Mars, note where the sun sets in the sky, then do a 180 so you're looking toward northeast. Now, early in the month, you'll need to be a little patient because Mars doesn't rise until a couple of hours after sunset, about 7 o'clock or so. But by month's end, the rise time comes nearer to sunset, and by mid-evening, it'll be well up in the east. Celestially speaking, there's a lot going on in that part of the sky, so here's a trick to finding Mars. Look for a very broad, flat triangle of three bright stars, with the middle one a little higher up. The base of this squat triangle is about the width of six of your fists held at arm's length. On the left end is Mars, and on the right is Sirius, the brightest star in the nighttime sky. In between is somewhat dimmer Procyon. Can you see the difference in color between the planet's peachy hue and the star's icy blue light? Now raise your gaze above Sirius. You'll see the stars of Orion, the Hunter, striding up from the eastern horizon. Look in particular for a trio of bright stars in a vertical row. These mark Orion's belt, and there's nothing else quite like them anywhere in the sky. Look to the left of the belt by about the width of one fist. That bright star is called Betelgeuse, and it marks the Hunter's shoulder. Now maybe you've heard it called Betelgeuse, like that weird movie character. Use whatever works for you. Study Betelgeuse a bit, and maybe you'll notice that it's got a warm color, much like that of the red planet. Now Mars is red because the rocks on its surface are rusty, but the color of Betelgeuse is due to its temperature. It's a red supergiant, a truly massive star that has swollen to tremendous size in its old age. But Betelgeuse still looks like a pinpoint in the sky because it's very, very far away, about 400 light years. To the right of Orion's belt, again about a fist away, is another very bright star that marks the Hunter's knee. This star, called Rigel, shines with an intense blue-white light. Rigel is roughly twice as far away in space as Betelgeuse, yet it looks a little brighter. Why so? It turns out that Rigel is one of the most prodigious stars in the known universe. It pumps out 40,000 times as much light as our own sun. And whereas Betelgeuse looks reddish because its surface is relatively cool, Rigel is literally white-hot, about 20,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Now let's hunt down a couple of star clusters. Shift your gaze upward from Orion's belt by about two fists until you run into another bright beacon with a slightly orange cast. That's a red giant star called Aldebaran, and it marks the angry eye of Taurus the bull. Aldebaran also serves as the anchor for a loose, V-shaped cluster of stars called the Hyades. In early evening, this V is lying on its side, with its bottom pointing toward the right, and its top, the bull's horns, pointing to the left. Depending on the darkness of your sky, you might be able to pick out anywhere from just a few to as many as 20 stars in the Hyades. Curiously, Aldebaran itself doesn't officially belong to the group. It's just a bright star that happens to lie between us and the cluster. Keep looking higher up in the sky, by about the width of another fist, until you see a little fuzzy spot that you can just cover with the tip of a finger. This is also a star cluster, called the Pleiades. Another name for it is the Seven Sisters, or in Japanese, Subaru, You think I'm kidding, right? Well, the next time you see a Subaru on the street, check out the logo. It's a stylized group of these stars. In Greek mythology, the Pleiades were the seven daughters of Atlas and Pleione. When Atlas angered some other gods, he was ordered to support the whole world on his shoulders as punishment. Devastated, the daughters all burst into tears, and to ease their sorrow, the head god, mighty Zeus, placed them together in the heavens. This cluster appears in Native American legends as well. One story tells of seven Indian maidens who climb a tree stump to escape from bears. Eventually, the Great Spirit rescues the maidens from their perch and places them in the sky. Hunters, bulls, bears, and maidens, sorting all that out should keep you busy for a while. If you want to know more, just head to skyandtelescope.com. One more thing. The quadranted meteor shower peaks in the first week of each new year. These meteors get their name from Quadrans Muralis, an obsolete constellation near the handle of the Big Dipper, and they seem to radiate from that point in the sky. Usually, we can count on the quadrantids to give us a brief but intense burst of meteors on the night of January 3rd. But this year, they'll be competing with the light from a nearly full moon, so you might see a few of the brighter ones if you stay out for a half hour or so. Next month, we'll spend a little more time with Mars. By then, it'll be up when the sun sets and hang around all night. Until next time, I wish you clear skies.